Hey, it's Brett Bachman, the sports editor at the Daily Cardinal, coming at you with the third edition of the Daily Cardinal Sportscast.
Round three, let's do it.
I'm Cameron Coleman, football writer.
I'm Gray Satterfield, multimedia editor.
And today we're here to talk to you about football. Wisconsin lost a crazy one last week. Last 18 seconds were possibly the weirdest that I've ever seen in a football game.
Yeah, certainly a strange end to the game. You know, it sucks to lose, especially in a fashion like that, but I wrote a column earlier this week to, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in, you know, the last second debacle, but 60-minute football game, a lot of plays run by both teams. The Badgers need to take away the fact that there's a lot of things that they need to improve on for this game and not try to get caught up in what happened at the end of that one. You know, looking back on it, say they get a chance at that field goal, who knows what's going in. I saw a funny tweet the night of the game saying that Kyle French was the happiest guy in the room. So going to move forward, going to take on Purdue. Purdue, similarly, coming off a loss, played a good team in Notre Dame at home last week.
Runner-up to national championship last year. Excellent team, for sure.
And they held their own through most of three quarters. They were ahead coming into the fourth quarter. The game was a lot closer than the score tells. It was 21-34, Purdue lost. But that game was a lot closer than that score will show.
Purdue came out super strong, scored a touchdown on their first drive. I think they were really kind of powered by that night home crowd. Everything was kind of going really well for them, and then the scoreboard displayed fourth quarter. They gave up three touchdowns in a row. So definitely a team that cannot be taken lightly.
Yeah, but I mean, looking at these stats, too, you wouldn't have expected the game to be as close as it actually was, too. Purdue is 38 rushing yards on 21 attempts. I mean, I don't know about you, but that I wouldn't expect that from a high school football team. 256 passing yards on 41 attempts. I take that as you may, you know?
They were pretty one-sided last Saturday, it sounds like.
Should definitely give some credit to that Fighting Irish defense, though.
No.
Yeah. That took them to the national championship a calendar year ago, so.
Definitely.
But those stats, especially the rushing ones, are weak at best.
Yeah. And looking at Wisconsin's offense, they came out a little slow last Saturday. Didn't really get a first down until the end of the first quarter.
Looked lost out there, really.
And, I mean, we've talked so much about these running backs, Melvin Gordon, James White, Corey Clement. I don't know what else we can say. They're pretty good.
They're good. They get the ball. They run down the field, usually for a touchdown.
Of course.
Yeah. Melvin just looked awesome last week, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't see as much of James White and Corey Clement, though, last week. They didn't get
I mean, it's like just like I feel like this team, you know, maybe a different analogy would be a basketball team with, like, you know, maybe the Miami Heat, for example. You know, either LeBron James is going to have a great night or D-Wade is going to have a great night. And it's up for the two of them to figure out, you know, whose is his night to shine and kind of keep feeding the ball. I think that's exactly what happened last week in Arizona, where Melvin Gordon was just in a class of his own. The coaching staff and the other players recognized it. The man's hot. Give him the ball. I mean, there's no if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. No. One thing I've noticed with Melvin Gordon is he is great right off the edge. You know, he'll run outside, take it upfield, and he'll take it up the center. James White, I don't see him having that outside speed as much. Melvin's going downfield, and he's turning back, looking at guys who are, you know, 5-10 yards behind him and getting that touchdown.
I think what separates Melvin is that first step. You give him the ball, and he just explodes through the hole. James White, great running back. He's been here for a while. We've seen him for a while. He's the type of running back that needs some space. He's the type of running back that excels off a screen pass, you know, maybe on a draw, where Melvin is the straight up, coming at you, full steam ahead, you know, diesel engine.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And when you talk about quarterbacks, got to mention Chris Borland
going one for one
with a touchdown. His quarterback rating must be exceptional.
Through the roof.
Yeah. And that was just an excellently performed play, too. And all the talk was, too, if it weren't for the ending of that game, that would have been the play of the week.
Came off of a fake punt.
It was a fake punt. And, you know, the fake punt has been done how many times? It was such a creative approach. I'd never seen anything like it. Usually the fake punt, you either run it or pass. I mean, there's two options. And it usually goes to the upback, who then kind of makes a decision if he wants to run. Also, I don't know if you remember this. A while ago, there was an LSU kid. The punter actually took it and ran all the way down the field. But this was wild. The upback gets the ball. then makes a handoff to Borland, who runs it almost like a reverse. There's misdirection in the backfield, and at the last second, he throws it. It was wild.
It was
such a well-designed play.
I did not expect Chris Borland to come through like that. But besides that, too, he actually had one sack, and that was his first sack of the season. Badger defense, you know, they did not do bad last week. I will say that. ASU, you know, they're very good offense. We had Bo Allen, the senior tackle, nose guard, defensive tackle, recovered a fumble snap on a punt for a touchdown. And as Gray mentioned before, you know, we're all getting super hyped about our special teams and getting in there. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible snap.
That touchdown was a gift.
Yeah.
Gift-wrapped Christmas morning for the people rushing that punt. But hey, you know, whenever you can get a touchdown by, you know, not necessarily normal means, it's such a boost for the team. It's great, exciting, but take that with a grain of salt. That was a gift-wrapped touchdown. It wasn't necessarily earned.
Yeah, well, he is the first Badger defensive player to score a touchdown since Marcus Cromartie returned an interception for a TD versus Nebraska back in the 2012 Big Ten Championship game.
I was in the stadium that night. It was raining touchdowns.
That was a hell of a game, I will say that. But yeah. Then senior... safety. So Desmond Southward recorded his first interception as well of the season, second career in the third quarter.
It was a pretty easy pick, if I remember. It was a weird play. The Badgers punted the ball, and the next play was a turnover. So correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't the punt from pretty far in the Badgers' field position? So it was like almost like the Badgers had, or sorry, Arizona State had punted this booming punt down the field.
Yeah.
But it still
counts as a pick. You know, I was worried.
Great way for the defense to mix up coverages. You know, that's usually why those are so easy. The quarterback won't see that safety or corner, you know, whoever hiding down there. Makes it look a lot easier than it is.
I was really worried about the Badgers secondary going up against ASU, but they proved themselves. You know, there were some penalties. Six penalties for Wisconsin for 76 yards. I believe, you know, Sojourn Shelton had one of those.
Yeah.
You know, who else? There was a couple guys.
There was an issue with that.
Hillary,
too. Six penalties in a game. Spread that out over 60 minutes of football. It's not a bad deal.
If I recall, three
of those pass interferences were all in the same drive? And that's kind of where it really kind of sunk the ship for the Badgers there was that they all happened so simultaneously.
Yeah,
Some of those pass interference penalties could have gone the other way.
Definitely kind of touchy, but you know, the ref called him, and that's the way it is.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that reffing stuff. We won't say too much more on that.
Yeah, of course. Pac-12 actually released a statement this week apologizing for the way the officials handled the end of the game situation, but they definitely sounded like they were also apologizing for the rest of the game. So looking forward, the officiating staff on the Pac-12 is probably going to look a lot better than it is. They're going to have some all-staff trainings where
sure
they talk
a,
about those
a
sorts
stirring
of things.
Talking to from the commissioner.
Yeah.
When you bring up the Pac-12, though, it's interesting. The Badgers and the Arizona State was not the only Big Ten Pac-12 showdown of the weekend. It's kind of a good way to kind of use the conference as a measuring stick against one another. Other matchups included Nebraska and UCLA, as well as Ohio State and Cal. The Nebraska game was very interesting. Nebraska went up 21-3 before losing the game 41-21. And then Bo Pelini kind of found himself in some hot water after the fact, but I think who knows what that was for. And then Ohio State just looked like a juggernaut in Berkeley. I mean, they scored, two touchdowns in like a minute or something like that? They had scored in the first play, three and out, scored the next play. With a backup quarterback. Badgers have their focus on Purdue this week. But
I was
going to
say, you
week,
can't look ahead, but no,
next
I was definitely
week,
worried with Ohio
under
State.
Under the lights in Columbus, and, you know, the Buckeyes just looked excellent last weekend.
No, I agree.
Away game, Urban Meyer. Cards are stacked against them.
But back to the Big Ten. First Big Ten game this weekend, Purdue. Held Notre Dame to 31 points. Not going to lie, as a runner-up to, you know, the national championship, like, that's excellent. I have nothing against their defense. Five players tackled with losses against Notre Dame, known for having big guys up front on their O-line.
Yeah.
And six penalties for 55 yards. So they're also getting a little bit touchy. I think this will be a very physical game.
Oh, yeah. And when you're looking at the history between these two teams, Wisconsin's won four straight home openers and the last 7 years against Purdue. So they do have a little bit of history on their side.
Yes, sir. Finally, 2:30 game. students should be a little bit more of a lively and rowdy bunch. No more of these 11 a.m. sunrise kickoffs.
More fluids, depending on what you're drinking today, you know.
But should be a good game. Should be a great atmosphere. Hopefully the weather holds true. Parents weekend should have a great crowd. Should be a great game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing I wanted to mention really quick. Gray brought up the point that last week we're going into a night game and we're all worried about the heat. I looked up the stat. It was 98 degrees at the start of the game. That is a hot game, and it's tied for the Badgers' hottest game.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
The other one was University of Las Vegas, and I can't remember which year it was.
In Madison.
Yes.
It was 2 years ago.
Yep. It was 2 years ago.
My freshman year, and it was toasty, sweltering, at night, too.
That was the first game of the year, too, I believe. My first Badger game that I ever went to.
I believe that was mine as well.
Yeah.
Season ticket holder, freshman year.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, sir. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here. This has been the Daily Cardinal Sportscast from the Daily Cardinal World Headquarters here in Vilas Hall.
Thank you.
Good night.